Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hola.
We've got the show's namesake. BJ Shea is back.
Hey, everybody.
And running the boards is Joey D.
Hello.
On today's show, we will talk a lot of television.
TV is good.
I'll get some information to share with you guys from Gareth von Kallenbach. And of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have all our information for social medias and more. It's just BJ Geek Nation, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Yep. All of those fun ways to get a hold of us. And I mean, seriously, like, shoot us a message. If you want to ever talk with us, the Geek Nationals, or more, you can follow our posts on Facebook. And, you know,
I post a lot of memes.
A lot of memes.
I like it.
So many memes.
Yeah, she does.
You're welcome.
Another thing that you like to do, Vicky, as well as everyone here, is watch television.
TV time. Oh, yeah.
Of course. And some of the newer episodes we want to talk about. I loved this episode of Gotham.
Got him.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was the weirdest thing because you're watching this and you don't necessarily know where Edward Nygma is going.
Now, you're talking about, of course, last week's episode.
Yes.
Yeah, because we obviously...
We're not spoiling last night's episode.
Exactly. And also because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we're a little behind. And that's the weird way that we record. It happens that way. So what had happened the week before was that we were all kind of interested in what the heck was happening with with Haven being exploded.
Yeah.
And
exploded.
Exploded. Explosion. Everywhere.
I saw it coming down the road, though.
Like, I didn't. Like,
oh, you really didn't think that's who did it?
I had no idea. None. And it was fun to see Lucius Fox and Ed Nygma coming back together because they were both guys who were working in the field of research and stuff like that. So having them pair up together was kind of fun.
Now, help me out here because I thought I might be confused.
Okay.
But I thought the Riddler took over and Ed Nygma is buried.
I thought so, too. I thought... Ed's the one that's been harassing. I think you know why it was. It's because there's a part where he starts yelling at a mirror and he keeps calling him Ed.
Exactly. I thought he buried him.
Unless he's trying not to call him by the Riddler.
And then Riddler took over.
And I'm just as confused. But it seems at this point it was triggered by someone else.
Well, he's...
Is it? I don't even know.
If you saw the previews...
Oh, I haven't. I missed
it. Yeah, the previews is Ed does blame somebody for basically being a mess. And he does
the whole thing.
Yeah, he's like, I'm all messed up, and it's because of you.
Oh,
so I don't know.
Is he just pointing at a mirror, and they're just giving us a little side?
No, he's got
his actual body.
He's got a weapon and everything.
He's pointing at a particular. I'm being vague. I'm being vague for your benefit. I know exactly who he's blaming.
I'm wondering if it's just blaming just from the start that like got him intrigued into the world of being a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem is, but it used to be that Ed was sort of like the voice of reason, and but the Riddler was like, you don't do anything, you're a loser, let me take over.
Yeah.
So Ed doesn't strike me as the kind of person that would do a horrible thing like blow up a building full of people.
Right.
But that seems to be the person who did it because the Riddler woke up and doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. So Ed's been kind of getting badass because it still feels like it's the charming, outgoing character that we're seeing who doesn't remember what the hell he's doing and waking up on rooftops and doesn't know what the hell's going on. Because he's the one that gives riddles. He's still giving riddles to Lucius as they both try to solve the crime of who blew up the building. Then, of course, he realizes, oh, I did it, and the old lady knows she needs to take a wheelchair off the building.
And that was like one of those things where it's like, this is like, it's just the most comic booky soap opera, but by and large, it's just a soap opera.
It's getting so over the top with everything. Yeah.
It's the last season. Yeah. I don't want to call it last season blues, but it's that last season ridiculousness where stuff just goes out the window.
It's always just throwing everything out the window.
But they ramp it up in the last season when they know it's the last season. I think Quantum Leap did that.
Yeah.
Like a lot of shows, even like The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, like the last little half season that they've done to end the series gets really ridiculous. And I just think it's just like, well, we can do whatever we want now.
So she fires a rocket launcher at people. Is that what she does?
Well, it's pretty close to that.
No, that's good. Boy, I guess she's really unbreakable. So how do we feel about what looks like, again, not the Joker? How does he survive what Catwoman did to him if that's really the Joker?
Right.
I feel like it's not the Joker, and we're never going to get the Joker.
And every time I really think it's going to be something like that, where it's going to be someone else taking up that mantle.
Your long lost twin brother.
Well, it might be because soap opera.
I mean, we already had that though,
right? I know, but how about a triplet or something like, or it's just somebody that's within that circle, part of his entourage that is an amalgamation of all of the Joker.
We're led to believe that the girl, who, by the way, she did a great job, it was Harley Quinn. We're led to believe that that's who that was.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, she says Puddin', so come on.
Exactly. You know,
her name is like Echo, the character name, before she went batty.
Yeah, and so whatever the case may be, she's dressed in the typical. It took me a while to realize. Oh, she's wearing half black, half red on top, and then the bottom is black and red, but in reverse. So it's totally Harlequin. And then like you said, when she said, "Oh yeah, by the way, Puddin'," it's like, "Oh, that's totally Harley." So my brain is like, "All right, is this really Harley?" And
I don't know. I like the whole like romance aspect, like the what Harley's like totally in love with him, and that like that little dance they did. I really enjoyed that. But we also saw a character we haven't seen in a hot minute.
Who's that?
Victor Zsasz.
Oh, yeah, Zsasz.
Little razzle zazzle.
He's such a, smart, snarky. I love him.
He's, like, one of my favorite characters on this show. And, this is a show all about the villains, and he stands out. He's just so well acted that I know that Zsasz is going to be in the new Birds of Prey movie.
Ooh. Oh, really?
But it's not him.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, whichever actor's doing it, I don't know offhand, but I'm like, you'll be fine, I'm sure. But still, you're not going to have the panache that this guy has.
Yeah. True story, the actor Anthony Carrigan, he actually has alopecia.
Really?
So he actually has no hair.
That works out really well.
and he does such a great performance. I really enjoyed him. No, this was a really good episode.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. So
what did you guys think of the ending?
I forgot the ending.
Where Jim Gordon grabs Barbara Keane and they start having angry makeout session.
Yeah, that's why I forgot it.
I was like, don't do it, don't do it. Oh, it's happening.
Yeah, it telegraphs to me that she's going to get killed. It just seems to me at this point, like, oh, one last kiss. They're going to wrap it up.
They're going
to
do it.
Tie off the loose ends. They might do it.
Honestly, I'm trying to think, like, it's a comic book movie or show. And if I was in a situation, I don't blame him. Like, everyone's dying. You're stuck in this, like, hellhole.
Let's make out.
The government's not there. I'm like, if you can, man, just go for it.
And that really is the situation. You can see where Gordon is becoming more and more broken. They want to set up a scene where the only way they can be saved if somebody is crazier than the villains, and he's on the side of good, which shows you why Gordon and all of Gotham would just go, yeah, we're going to turn it over to the Dark Knight. We have to.
Yeah.
And this is why this vigilantism is accepted, because they were abandoned and nobody will do anything. I feel like we're seeing that, you know, Gordon's just, like, everyone's just messed up. Everybody is just effed up in the head.
Yeah, the Gotham is Gotham for a reason, and this is showing exactly why it is in the comic book. It's a good lead-in. I really like it on that end.
And I think they ended up killing in this episode who I thought was going to be Bane.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was the guy with the mask. Like, I think he was in a previous episode.
Yeah.
And he's just like, we can't do this because all the kids got taken out of there.
Yeah.
So now the guys with the masks are the ones that are having to do the tunnel digging.
Oh, yeah, the big guy that Selena took a scratch.
No, not him. The other one.
Oh, I see. Oh, the guy who took all the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's like, we can't do this. And
he didn't look big enough to be Bane.
Yeah, well, I mean, I figured the gas might have something to do with it.
And I think that's going to be a lead-in for Bane at that point, so we'll have to see where it goes. Moving on from that, we got to go to the stars. And let's talk about Star Trek Discovery.
Well, I think actually we should talk about Star Trek Discovery and the Orville.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they were, it's so funny how the stars align, they were about the same thing.
Really?
First Contact.
Really?
Yeah, Star Trek Disco actually was doing a First Contact episode.
Disco.
Well, the story arc is really awesome because there's this red angel that is at the source of these crazy red anomalies that are all over the galaxy. And, this one took place in a completely different quadrant. It would have taken them 150 years to get to. But luckily, they've got that mushroom drive that they've been using. And so they were able to reactivate that. Poor Stamets, the science guy, had to go in there and be all mushroomed up again.
Oh.
In order to get them where they wanted to go. Really cool episode. They get to this place that there's no way any human spaceship could get to, and yet there's an entire colony of humans living on a planet. And they are completely...
Like humans or humanoids?
No, they're humans. They are Earthlings that have basically had an amalgamation of all the religions. It seemed like that years ago, there was a giant battle, and the military was defending this battle. It was during World War III, and there was a church. There was a last stand that was going to happen, and basically everybody was going to be wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow this church gets mysteriously transported all the way across the universe, all the way across the galaxy, out of the Alpha Quadrant into a different quadrant. And then they just developed for 200 years, just living there. So they all didn't know Earth was still alive. They just assumed that World War III blew the place up. And then, of course, this was the Federation problem. Yes, they're Earthlings, but yes, they've developed their own culture.
Yeah, so, you can't mess with them.
And Captain Christopher Pike, as we've known, at least with the JJ universe, staunch on the Prime Directive, as that was a big problem in Star Trek Into Darkness, was the fact that Kirk and Spock basically broke the Prime Directive with those alien creatures. They stopped the volcano from blowing up. So it's fun to see Captain Pike still sticking to his guns in this with, now, General Order 1 is the key, and Michael Burnham is arguing with him, saying, no, these people need to know that we're alive, that Earth is still alive, and we're their brothers and sisters.
You can't do it.
A good episode. Still continues the story arc, but really was a standalone episode.
And then moving to the Orville, it was the First Contact as well, and it's kind of hilarious because the way that you see Seth MacFarlane's Ed deal with that, he's like, ooh, it's a First Contact. It's like, ooh, you get all the glory and a free meal. Like, it seemed like that for him. It was like a little bit more about the pomp, the circumstance, the glory of getting to do it first.
And I loved it because, being a Star Trek fan, I was suspicious. Because in Star Trek, you do not initiate first contact until somebody develops warp drive.
Uh-huh.
This planet, all they did was, we've been doing this for years. We just sent out messages.
Hey,
are you here?
Hey!
We launch time capsules. We do everything.
Hey!
The Federation would not contact us. We're not ready, even though we're asking for people to come by.
You need to be able to have the technology to actually traverse the stars in order to make contact.
And I love that in the world of the Union, the Seth MacFarlane sort of semi-federation, they're like, no, as soon as you ask if you want to talk to us, we'll come talk to you. And that was not a good idea.
No, it wasn't, because you find out, and it was weird because it was a whole, the whole birthday setup was very strange for Bortus.
I love the astrology thing.
And then, it turns out astrology is the big terrible doodad because a star collapsed millennia ago.
Yeah.
I, I do love just Bordas. You wouldn't think he'd want a birthday party in general.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no.
I want a birthday.
He's like, I want my own.
But I want my own.
Yeah. He's freaking, I love Bordas' character so much. And we did see an actor, a pretty big name actor, appear in this movie, in this episode.
Yeah, we did.
Ted Danson.
Oh, yeah.
He was Admiral Perry.
I know. I do love the cameos that come up in this role.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the new...
The new Not Alara?
The new Not Alara.
Yeah, here's the deal. They need super strength, and what's the easiest way? It's like seriously, it's just talking about like replacing a character with the exact same character because you need that character.
I do like, though, that she's feistier. So Alara was very sweet, and she was kind of looking for love, while Tala, she's just like, no, I punched my last boss in the face.
Yeah, because we Alara was a kid. I mean, that's the other thing. She was really very young for, you know, being in the Union. Which was funny. It's like, oh, they just basically said, no, we need somebody strong. Because Bordas, at least on Star Trek, that would be Worf. Worf was the strongest guy outside of Data.
Yeah.
So they have the one strong robot guy. And, of course, they will have now another Selenia, whatever the heck that her race
Salian.
Is. Yeah, the Selenian. So it is pretty funny. You know, the show is goofy at times, and yet still does a great job of addressing some stuff that's going on. People who get overly fundamental about any philosophy. And it's funny because astrology isn't your traditional religion, but there are people that are overly fundamental about it as they would any religion.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode shows you what happens if an entire culture develops based on this belief system. And like Rev said, these group of people were considered just born under a bad sign, literally, and put in internment camps just because a star died in that particular constellation. They're like, oh, wow, all of these jellyacks are just horrible. Yeah. You know, it's like saying all of these Capricorns are horrible because the star died.
And it's so weird, though, because even the ones who are being put into the camps are just like, yes, we accept this because we have these violent tendencies, which they absolutely don't have. Like, these people aren't showing any of it. Yeah, they're good, fine people.
You know they're good people because they just believe this to be true and go, well, we don't want to be a harm to society. Put us away, which, you know, you learn in life. Anybody that's reasonable enough to understand that they could be a danger means they're probably not a danger because they're reasonable to at least agree that maybe they could be.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a really powerful episode. And the idea of non-interference, I love the silliness of General Order 1 where, we're going to have to let our crew die over something stupid because, well, we want to have good relations with these people.
But it's so weird that they're like, okay, well, they want to be left alone. We're going to do this whole thing, this whole elaborate Machiavellian plan to trick these guys so we can get our things back. And, you know, it's going to run out in a couple 100,000 years or however long it's going to last. So they'll just have to deal with an oops, sorry guys, the jig is up.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, that's kind of a D move, man.
This is why I love Seth MacFarlane, because you know Seth has watched a lot of sci-fi, because this has been a theme of the original Star Trek. We can't get involved, and mm-hmm. then you got the one guy, Kirk, going, I'm getting involved. I'm sorry.
Said it just like him too.
Yeah, you did.
And in Doctor Who, the very reason the Doctor is who he is because, or she is now, he stole a TARDIS because the Time Lord said, we just sit back and watch. They're like the Watchers from Marvel. Mm-hmm. They will not interfere. And the Doctor was like, but dude, there are other races who have technology that are interfering. Like, if they were just left alone, you're right. They should just leave them alone. But these other superior races that shouldn't be interfering are interfering. We should interfere with their interference. And the Time Lords didn't believe it. And so he was like, well, F you. I'm stealing this cabinet and I'm going to. And he basically just adopted Earth. Like, no, they have to be allowed to develop. You can't. This would be a crime if this species didn't live.
Yeah.
And I think Seth is just like, it's stupid to have a prime directive. We, of course, we have to get involved.
And
I really love how he pokes fun at that.
Yeah. I love it. And I'm loving these episodes. So, I mean, I'm happy that the Orville is continuing to go on. And I hope for more episodes. I really do like it.
And, a lot of people that I have my friends that are smarmy and go, well, yeah, I watch Star Trek. I don't watch Discovery. I watch the real Star Trek, the Orville. I love both.
You can love both, people.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm just digging Star Trek Discovery. It's such a beautiful show. I don't know if they're going to. I keep hear rumors that there's a lot of shifts at Paramount and maybe the show will not get another season, or maybe because they're doing Picard's. I don't know, but it's well done. I think people are just open your minds, watch the show, pay a little money. It's beautiful. It's mm-hmm. so well done.
And now we've got to move on.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, because we've got Gareth von Kallenbach.
Gareth
von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed. That's SKNR.net. And you've got some interesting movie news because I know a lot of the companies out there are, you know, all those production companies usually want to go to a lot of these movie conventions. And it seems like that might not necessarily be happening.
Yeah, we're getting some interesting stuff. Now, what's going on right now is that we have CinemaCon coming up in March. And for those that are not familiar with it, CinemaCon is basically, it's a conference. It's held in Las Vegas at Caesars Palace. And what it's designed for is essentially for, there is a large media contingent there, but the public doesn't go. You don't buy tickets to this. It's for theater owners, exhibitors, and people who work within the theater industry. And so you'll see studios will come in and they do showcases similar to what you see at various trade shows where they'll come in and they'll say, you know, some of them will host a lunch or a dinner, but then they bring out people to talk to. They bring out some of the stars. They'll show clips from some of their upcoming films. And, you know, a simplified way to look at it is they're trying to basically enforce their support for the movie theater and the industry, especially now with streaming and all that. You have companies that will come up and do, you know, hey, here's new seat technology, here's new popcorn technology, all of this stuff. And what surprised everybody was Sony has said they will not be taking part in the show this year.
Interesting. And now, have they given any reason why?
No. And that is what's got everybody thinking. Now, like, for example, Fox has also said they're not sure, but Fox has a valid reason. Fox is saying because the merger with Disney is going to be completed, they're not sure if they're doing their own thing. They're not sure if it's going to be rolled into the Disney presentation or if they're just going to have to sit back this year, wait till all the dust settles and then, you know, go forward. Sony has Spider-Man Far From Home, Men in Black International, and Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The first two they've already promoted heavily at Brazil Comic Con. That was where they made the first trailers and stuff. So they're stepping back. And with them also saying we're not taking part in E3, this has got people going, I know it's two different studios. One's the game side, one's the movie side. There are those saying, is Sony basically stepping back from conventions altogether, saying we're going to do our own thing? You know, they have the PlayStation Expo they do in December, and some are saying, are they going to try to do something where it's games and movie all in one shot?
Huh, yeah. And I mean, if they can just do their own thing. I mean, even though, but Disney still does stuff a lot of the times, even though they have their own conventions.
Correct. And see, and this is what is so interesting, because we have WonderCon coming up at the end of March. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's San Diego Comic-Con in July. Now, this is the year that Disney's got the D23 Expo again later in the summer. And, of course, nobody's committing to what. But we're all sitting here going, okay, we think the Star Wars trailer is going to debut at Star Wars Celebration in March. But, you know, Disney's got the streaming service coming. We're told it's coming in September. So are they going to skip Comic-Con altogether and just focus on their own D23 Expo to promote it? Or are they going to say, you know what, we need to get as much exposure as we can, we're going in? And then, of course, you know, breaking it down. God, are you going to say Marvel is going to Comic-Con, but not Star Wars? Are they both going? And it's got this big, you know, thing. And then there's, like I said, what is Fox's presence going to be? And so everybody's kind of sitting there going, this is odd. But see, that's a case of, that's not saying, they're saying we are not coming to a convention. And then they're saying, we're not coming to this one, but we have other promotional things lined up. And this is what surprises people, because this is not an industry show. This is when you need to go to the theaters and say, this is what we got, this is why we're confident about it, and this is why you need to put it on 4,000 screens versus 2,600 screens. This is why you need to meet our asking rent price for the first 2 weeks versus trying to negotiate a lower rate. And for them to say, is surprising.
It's another surprising thing, too, that you had mentioned to me that the Super Bowl ads are going to be lacking as well.
As of right now, yeah. Now, we've been told $5.3 million for a 30-second spot.
Damn!
And as of now, and like I said, this is subject to change, and some of it could be quiet backroom stuff where nobody's come forward. We confirmed a few days ago that Disney apparently has bought multiple spots. The belief is they're going to show a new Avengers spot. They're going to show Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Speculation is that they will not do Star Wars. That will probably be held for Star Wars Celebration. But you will probably get, like, Dumbo. There's talk that you might get the first Aladdin trailer for the live-action version, seeing Will Smith in full genie, you know, the full blue genie, not his costume, regular costume, and then possibly one other film. Now, we did hear that apparently Universal has also jumped in and said they're going to get a spot for Hobbs and Shaw, which is the Fast and Furious spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
And this has also got people saying that there's a good chance The Rock is not going to appear in the next Fast and Furious film. There were some reports of some tension with certain members of the cast. And, you know, now we're hearing that he may just stick to doing the spinoffs or whatever, but who knows? But that's where it is right now. And it's also, again, very puzzling because, you know, look at what's coming up. What are the other studios? Did they just simply say $5.3 million is too much money and we could probably release a trailer? And that's kind of the thing. There are some saying, you want that gigantic audience, but at the same time, there are others saying if we put the trailer out at the same time or close to the same time, people are going to watch it because, you know, we've seen, what, Star Wars trailers and Avengers trailers rack up millions of hits.
Totally.
In as short a time. But, of course, you know, the argument that the networks, give you is we're going to have, you know, what's a conservative estimate, 200 million people watching the game?
Usually, and,
yeah, exactly. So, and that the ads are a part there. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people that say, I'm sick of seeing the Patriots. I have absolutely no interest in this, but I'm going to record it and I'm going to watch the ads. Or I'm only watching it for the ads. So, you know, again, it's odd. It's like this shifting priorities of where do we do our promotion? Some people think, oh, these things are fine. But the competition, especially this year, the competition is going to be intense for some of these movies. And I just couldn't imagine, without a really good reason, backing away from a trade show where all your competition is going to be there, where your absence is going to become very obvious.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder at this point what their actual plans are. And I know that looking at it and speculating is one thing, but I know you're going to keep a finger on the pulse for this as well, because this could actually lead to some very interesting things. And I know we got to keep track of it too, because I'm glad that you're going to be doing it for us. And if people want to get more information, they can definitely do so at Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. Garrett, thanks so much, buddy.
Anytime, bonus.
Thank you so much, Gareth. Again, Gareth von Kallenbach at Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. And now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what's coming out this week?
It's got a couple movies. This one I'm kind of bummed out about. It's Miss Bala. It's getting 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is Gina Rodriguez, who I absolutely adore. But it's I wouldn't necessarily call it super nerdy, but it is an action, adventure, mystery, suspense type movie where she's basically drawn into this world of cross-border crime, you know, and she's got to use her cunning intellect and...
It's not getting a lot of very good reviews on that.
No, and it also has Anthony Mackie in it.
The Falcon.
Yep. So I'm like, it's 22%.
Yeah, so maybe not.
That's a bummer.
This one that I hadn't even heard about, and it's a Netflix movie apparently, just looking at the little cover photo. And it's from, I think, the same people that made Nightcrawler. It's called Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yeah, I heard about this one. I don't know much about it, though. I just like the name.
Right? It's an epic-sounding name. But it's after a series of paintings by an unknown artist are discovered, a supernatural force enacts revenge on those who have allowed their greed to get in the way of art.
Ooh, so there's where we get the geeky, slightly geeky aspect.
Yeah, it's got horror, mystery.
It's got Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it.
Oh.
John Malkovich is also in this. Tony Collette.
Who's he being in it, though? That's what I want to know.
And then Natalie Dyer, she's the the sister in Stranger Things.
And Renee Russo.
Okay.
Remember
oh,
her.
Yeah. Renee right. Russo. It's been a while.
Yeah, right?
It's getting 77%.
Okay.
So
that's a movie.
It's Netflix, so it's a lot easier to see it. But I think it's going to be one of those they put it in theaters.
Yeah, they're doing a limited theatrical run. And they're doing a lot of those with anything they think might possibly get any sort of Oscar buzz. Because you have to have it out for a week before it goes to streaming in order to get the Oscar nod, to be able to get the nomination.
So they're trying to get it for this year's Oscars.
Because
they've already nominated it. So is it next year's, you think?
Yeah, next year's. Yeah, absolutely next year's. Yeah, because this is now 2019.
Boy, imagine the day when a Netflix movie wins Best Picture.
It'll be interesting. I know that The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, I think, got a nomination for costuming or something along those lines. And that's a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing. It was a week before, and they're kind of hoping for that, but it got snubbed.
So these big movie companies, man, this is their biggest fear. If a Netflix or like an HBO or anybody that's got the deep pockets, Amazon obviously, puts together such an amazing movie that folks go, sorry, this has got to be Best Picture.
Because it lets them take those risks that the bigger movies. I mean, the reason why we have so many comic book movies right now is because they're just mining all of these comic books because a couple of them did pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just because I like comic books. And they said, all right, BJ, here you go.
How long did it take to get actual comic book movies?
I waited a long time. I really did wait a long time. And actually, Batman was the first one, but I was such a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
You know, and Tim Burton's Batman was great back in the mid-80s.
Yeah, it was like 89, 80, I think.
88 or 89.
Yeah.
And even still, I was like, as a Marvel guy, going... But then finally, you know, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. Finally, that was the first one where we go, finally a Marvel movie. And it was awesome, and we loved it. So, of course, that was 2001, I think, or 2000.
Wow.
Because it was after the Twin Towers came down. So, imagine see where we've come in 19 years. Like, Marvel has just dominated the movie scene. Mm-hmm. They weren't even existent before 2001.
And so, the smaller movies, like a Western, which used to be the massive dominant thing, are the risks that they're taking for Netflix shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One that's going to... kind of it's more for the history nerds that are listening. It's called They Shall Not Grow Old. Right now at Certified Fresh, 98%.
Whoa.
So it is, Peter Jackson directs this homage to the British troops of the First World War.
That's easy for you to say.
Nope. With never before seen footage of soldiers as they face the fear and uncertainty of the front line battle in Belgium. And it's digitally remastered, so it's now in color. The footage has been studied by lip reading experts whose transcripts were recorded and used as audio for the film. And it's overlaid by a narrative of those who partook in the war and, you know, that made interviews in like the 1960s and 1970s. So it's a historic revisiting, and it marks 100 years since the end of the Great War.
So he's kind of made a semi-documentary on this.
So he basically took a bunch of footage, remastered it, made it so you can understand and hear everything, got a bunch of interviews and stuff. So if you're a big history buff, this is going to be a good movie for you to check out.
Nice.
And one last one, it's called Piercing. And it's one of those, like, you know, Sundance. Just from hearing the description... you're going to think, how is this nerdy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm asking right now. How is this nerdy?
It says, a man kisses his wife and baby goodbye and seemingly heads away on business with a plan to check into a hotel, call an escort service, and kill an unsuspecting prostitute.
Okay, so far, not nerdy. Okay.
No, but I'm not reading you the Rotten Tomatoes one because it kind of gives you more information about the movie.
Which is nerdy?
Which is, like, I don't want to spoil too much, but basically it says, before the night is over, you don't know who's playing who. So it's a mystery suspense movie of someone's going to, like, it's bloody and murderous, but who's the bad guy? Is it him? Is it her?
So there's some geekiness
the horror theme.
The horror theme. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Nice.
So it is a horror movie, but it's a little different. I've never heard of any kind of premise like this.
That sounds interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, getting 98%, it might be something to get you out this weekend.
Right, exactly. This one's 76.
That's
still good.
76.
98% is the history thing.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner
inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.